Good morning and welcome, my friends. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whalen. Very excited to have you with us here tonight. It is Saturday morning, May 26, 2007, and Memorial Day weekend. Some interesting subject matter here tonight. We are reading from a very, very lengthy piece from Rolling Stone. That's the rock and roll magazine for all you haters out there. And that's RollingStone.com. Came out on January 25th, 2006, and it's entitled God's Senator. You can look it up if you'd like, or you can just listen, because we've been reading from it here. It's talking about Sam Brownback out of Kansas, who is one of the Republican candidates seeking the nomination of the Republican Party. We'll see if it happens or not, but very interesting stuff. It says Brownback still meets with the prayer cell every Tuesday evening. He and his brothers, he says, are, quote, bonded together, faith and souls, end quote. The rules forbid Brownback from revealing the names of his fellow members, but those in the cell likely include such conservative stalwarts as Representative Zach Womp of Tennessee, former Representative Steve Largent of Oklahoma, and Senator Tom Coburn, an Oklahoma doctor who has advocated the death penalty for abortion providers. Fellowship documents suggest that some 30 senators and 200 congressmen occasionally attend the group's activities, but no more than a dozen are involved at Brownback's level. The men in Brownback's cell talk about politics, but the senator insists that it's not political. He says, quote, it's about faith and action, end quote. According to the paper, quote, thoughts on a core group, end quote, the primary purpose of the cell is to become an invisible believing group. Any action the cell takes is an outgrowth of belief, a natural extension of, quote, agreements reached in faith and in prayer, end quote. Deals emerge from not from a smoke-filled room, but from a prayer-filled room. Says Brownback, quote, typically one person grows desirous of pursuing an action, a piece of legislation, a diplomatic strategy, and the others pull in behind, end quote. In 1999, Brownback worked with Representative Joe Pitts, a fellowship brother, to pass the Silk Road Strategy Act designed to block the growth of Islam in Central Asian nations by bribing them with lucrative trade deals. That same year, he teamed up with two fellowship associates, former Senator Don Nichols and the late Senator Strom Thurmond, to demand a criminal investigation of a liberal group called Americans United for Separation of Church and State. Last year, several fellowship brothers, including Senator John Ensign, another resident of the C Street House, supported Brownback's broadcast decency bill, and Pitts and Coburn joined Brownback in stumping for the Houses of Worship Act to allow tax-free churches to endorse candidates. The most bluntly theocratic effort, however, is one called the Constitution Restoration Act, which Brownback co-sponsored with Jim DeMint, another C-Streeter who was then a congressman from South Carolina. If passed, it will strip the Supreme Court of the ability to hear cases, in which citizens protest faith-based abuses of power. Say the mayor of your town decides to declare Jesus Lord and fire anyone who refuses to do so. Or the principal of your local high school decides to read a fundamentalist prayer over the PA system every morning, or the president declares the United States a Christian nation. Under the Constitution Restoration Act, that'll all be just fine. Now, again, folks, when you look at something like that, it may sound good on the surface. But keep in mind, there's a lot of things in the scripture that are not necessarily a good thing. And I know some of you are pulling your hair out when I'm saying, wow, how can you say that? Because there's a lot of stuff in the Bible. The Bible spans thousands of years. So there's a lot of things in there, in the Old Testament, for example, that maybe aren't necessarily applicable in the New Testament. You know, it's things like that. Anyway, I could give you a myriad of examples, and some of them are actually brought up in this article, so I don't need to cover it twice. But the point I'm getting at here is that if the president decides that this is a Christian nation, and we are subservient to the scripture, to God in general, he as the leader would be the one to interpret God then, would he not? You certainly don't want George W. Bush planning your wars. You probably don't even want him making you breakfast, making you some pancakes or Pop-Tarts, but can you imagine him interpreting the will of God?
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
You're here. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. We are reading this very lengthy piece on one Senator Sam Brownback from Kansas, a Republican hopeful for the presidential nomination. We'll see. Here's what it says. Brownback points to his friend Ed Meese, who served as Attorney General under Reagan, as an example of a man who wields power through backroom fellowship connections. Meese has not held a government job for nearly two decades, but through the fellowship, he is more influential than ever, credited with brokering the recent nomination of John Roberts to head the Supreme Court. In the Center's view, such hidden power is sanctioned by the Bible. Says Brownback, quote, "Everybody knows Moses, but who were the leaders of the Jewish people once they got to the Promised Land? It's a lot of people who are unknown," end quote. So he's saying it's okay to sort of shape policy behind the scenes in these very, very secretive prayer cells by which they seek to implement God's will in America with Washington as its capital. It may sound unbelievable, it may sound unlikely, it may sound like it's not possible, but it's very, very possible. It's very, very likely, folks. This is when you look at people who are motivated by what they think is the will of God, most of the time those people feel that they can force God's will upon you in whatever manner they see fit, which is scary, scary stuff. Such as, of course, stacking the Supreme Court, for that matter. We'll get to that, though. Every Tuesday before his evening meeting with his prayer brothers, Brownback chairs another small cell, one explicitly dedicated to altering public policy. It is called the Values Action Team, and it is composed of representatives from leading organizations on the religious right. James Dobson's Focus on the Family sends an emissary, as does the Family Research Council, the Eagle Forum, the Christian Coalition, the Traditional Values Coalition, Concerned Women for America, and many more. Like the fellowship prayer cell, everything that is said is strictly off the record, and even the groups themselves are forbidden from discussing the proceedings. Brownback says a Brownback press secretary, quote, "It's a little cloak and dagger," end quote. The VAT is a war council, and the enemy sees one participant as, and the enemy says one participant is secularism. So Brownback, again, part of this, he's chairing it, so he's more than just a part of it. He's kind of running the show there from behind the scenes. And again, it's okay, because he says everybody knows Moses, but what about the Jewish leaders behind the scenes? Nobody knew who they were. They were shaping policy. They were making things happen. The VAT, which is Values Action Team, coordinates the efforts of fundamentalist pressure groups, unifying their message and arming congressional staffers with the data and language they need to pass legislation. Working almost entirely in secret, the group has directed the fights against gay marriage and for school vouchers, against hate crime legislation, and for abstinence-only education. The VAT helped win passage of Brownback's broadcast decency bill and made the president's tax cuts a top priority. When it comes to impacting policy, says Tony Perkins of the Family Research Council, quote, "Day-to-day, the VAT is instrumental," end quote. As chairman of the Helsinki Commission, the most important U.S. human rights agency, Brownback has also stamped much of U.S. foreign policy with VAT's agenda. One victory for the group was Brownback's North Korea Human Rights Act, which establishes a confrontational stance toward the dictatorial regime and shifts funds for humanitarian aid from the United Nations and into Christian organizations. So a confrontational policy against North Korea. That was one of Sam Brownback's agendas. So, again, these people are not necessarily just looking to spread the gospel, but, hey, if you got to go ahead and confront an enemy, somebody that's not Christian enough, you could start some wars, maybe. Since Brownback took over leadership of the VAT in 2002, he used it to consolidate his position in the Christian right and his influence in the Senate. VAT is like a closed communication circuit with Brownback at the switch. The power flows through him. Every Wednesday at noon, he trots upstairs from his office to a radio station maintained by the Republican leadership to rally support from Christian America for VAT's agenda. One participant in the broadcast, Salem Radio Network, reaches more than 1,500 Christian stations nationwide, and Focus on the Family offers access to an audience of 1.5 million people. During a recent broadcast, Brownback explains that with the help of VAT, he's working to defeat a measure that would stiffen penalties for violent attacks on gays and lesbians. And we know that Bush said, you know, basically that's not happening. So very interesting stuff. Members of VAT helped by mobilizing their flocks. An email sent out by the Family Research Council warned that the hate crime bill would lead inexorably to the criminalization of Christianity. So when you hear a lot of people talking about that, saying, oh, this hate crimes bill is going to outlaw the Bible, well, keep in mind that you're in agreement, if you agree with that statement, you're in agreement with Sam Brownback and the Values Action Team, which is manipulating pretty much everything under the sun. Brownback recently muscled through the Judiciary Committee a proposed amendment to the Constitution to make not just gay marriage, but even civil unions nearly impossible. He says, quote, I don't see where the compromise point would be on marriage, end quote. The amendment has no chance of passing, but it's not designed to. It is a time bomb scheduled to detonate sometime during the 2006 electoral cycle. The intended victims are not Democrats, but other Republicans. GOP moderates will be forced to vote for or against marriage, which in the language of the VAT Communications Network is another way of saying for or against the homosexual agenda. It is a typical VAT strategy, a tool with which to purify the ranks of the Republican Party. 11 years ago, Brownback himself underwent a similar process of purification. It started, he says, with a strange bump on his right side, a melanoma diagnosed in 1995. Brownback is sitting in the Senate dining room surrounded by backslapping senators and staffers, yet he seems serene. His press secretary tries to stop him from talking. He considers Brownback's cancer epiphany suitable only for religious audiences. But Brownback cannot be distracted. His eyes open wide and his shoulders slump as he settles into the memory. He starts using words like meditation and solitude, and his press secretary winces. The doctor scooped out a piece of flesh, Brownback says, as if murmuring to himself. A minor procedure, but it scared him. In his mind, he lost hold of everything. He asked himself, what have I done with my life? The answer seemed to be nothing. One night while his family was sleeping, Brownback got up and pulled out a copy of his resume. Sitting in his silent house in the middle of the night, a scar over his ribs where cancer had been carved out, he looked down at the piece of paper. His work, the laws he had passed. He thought, this must be who I am. Then he realized that nothing he had done would last. All his accomplishments were humdrum conservative measures, bureaucratic wrangling, legislation that had nothing to do with God. They were worth nothing. Brownback turns and holds my gaze, the author writes. Brownback says, quote, so I burned it, end quote. He smiles, he pauses. He's waiting to see if I understand. He had cleansed himself with fire. He had made himself pure. He explains, quote, I am a child of the living God, end quote. He continues saying, quote, you are too, end quote. He purses his lips and he searches other tables. Looks, he says, pointing to a man across the room. Mark Dayton over there, the Democratic senator from Minnesota. He's a liberal, but you know what else he is? A beautiful child of the living God. Brownback continues, Ted Kennedy, a beautiful child of the living God. Hillary Clinton, yes, even Hillary, especially Hillary. Once Brownback says he hated Hillary Clinton, hated her so much that it hurt him, but he reached in and scooped that hatred out like a cancer, and now he loves her. She, too, is a beautiful child of the living God. Very interesting. Brownback is less concerned about the world being polluted by people. His biggest financial backer is Koch Industries, an oil company that ranks among America's largest privately held companies. The Koch folks, as they're known around the senator's office, are among the nation's worst polluters. In 2000, the company was slapped with the largest environmental civil penalty in U.S. history for illegally discharging 3 million gallons of crude oil in six states. That same year, Koch was indicted for lying about its emissions of benzene, a chemical linked to leukemia, and dodged criminal charges in return for a $20 million settlement. Brownback has received nearly $100,000 from Koch and its employees, and during his neck-and-neck race in 1996, a mysterious shell company called Triad Management provided $410,000 for last-minute advertising on Brownback's behalf. A Senate investigative committee later determined that money came from the two brothers who run Koch Industries. Brownback has been a staunch opponent of environmental regulations that Koch finds annoying, such as fighting fuel efficiency standards and the Kyoto Protocol on global warming. That sounds like the Bush administration, doesn't it? But for the senator, there's no real divide between the predatory economic interests of his corporate backers and his own moral passions. He received more money funneled through Jack Abramoff, the GOP lobbyist under investigation for bilking Indian tribes, of more than $80 million than all but four other senators. And he blocked a casino that Abramoff's clients viewed as a competitor. But getting Brownback to vote against gambling doesn't take bribes. He would have done so regardless of the money. Brownback finds the issue of finances distasteful. He refuses to discuss his backers, smoothly turning the issue to matters of faith, saying, quote, Pat got me elected, referring, of course, to Pat Robertson's network of Christian right organizations. Sitting in his corner of the office, Brownback returns to one of his favorite subjects, the scourge of homosexuality. The office has just been remodeled, and the high-ceilinged room is almost barren. On Brownback's desk, adrift near the far end of the room, there's a Bible open to the Gospel of John. You like that? It is smooth. It's a smooth transition away from...
Catholic priest calls on Catholics and Christians to resist an unjust attack against Iran. Father John Martinez, a Catholic priest, speaks out to declare the Catholic Church's true teaching. that it would be a mortal sin for Catholic soldiers to attack Iran. In a one-hour lecture, Father John Martinez warns about the Jewish plot to rule the world and to use the United States to ignite the flames of World War III by its satanic plan to unjustly attack Iran. He exposes that George Bush is Jewish and how Congress is controlled by the Jews. Father John Martinez gravely warns of nuclear weapons being used by the United States and the threat of the possible end of the world. For additional information on how you can help stop World War III, order Father John Martinez's CD entitled An Unjust Attack on Iran, available for $10 by Father John Martinez. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for the address.
World War III? Rising fuel prices? Financial collapse? Trucker strike? North American Union? Our world has become a very fragile place, and we need to be prudent and plan ahead. Don't wait for an impending crisis to become reality. Then it will be too late. Stoves and More wants to help give you freedom from the systems of the world. If the grid is down and fossil fuels are not available to you, how would you heat your home, cook your food, and heat your water? People, we need to be more independent and able to take care of ourselves in a natural disaster, political crisis, or financial crisis. Stoves and More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you the independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. With the right application, you'll be able to use these stoves all year long, not just during the winter months. At Stoves and More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. Stoves and More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at stovesandmoreonline.com. Food, water, and a wood cook stove are keys to your survival in a crisis. Take action.
PersonalArms.com has all your self-defense needs. PersonalArms.com carries the highest quality law enforcement grade pepper spray and sells it at true wholesale prices that start at $6.95. Check out our new electronic barking dog alarm. This electronic watchdog sees through walls. Electronic barking dog alarm works when an intruder comes within 15 feet. The barking dog alarm will begin barking like a true-to-life angry German Shepherd. The closer the intruder comes, the more frequent and more threatening the barking becomes. You can purchase stun guns, stun batons, pepper spray, telephone voice changers, martial arts instructional DVDs, and the same tasers that you have seen the police use on TV and more at www.personalarms.com/RBN. That's www.personalarms.com/RBN. Or call 1-201-641-1442. Don't be afraid anymore. Receive a free pepper spray by mentioning RBN when you place your online order. We will not sell items prohibited by any state, county, or local law, so check your laws before making a purchase.
6-222-3017 or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
Listening to Frankly Speaking Radio, we're talking about this very, very important story because I think it's important for you to know who is moving and shaking behind the scenes, who is maneuvering things in a manner that I guess may seem like it's a good thing. Maybe it is to you. I don't know. But you should be always be wary when politics and faith start intersecting. Because it's one thing to have faith. It's another thing for somebody to force their own on you and have political clout, legislative clout, legal clout to enforce their version of events. Story goes on. It says, quote, doesn't bother Brownback that most Bible scholars challenge the idea that Scripture opposes homosexuality. Brownback says, quote, it's pretty clear what we know in our hearts, end quote. He says this is natural law derived from observation of the world, but his logic is circular. It is wrong because he observes himself believing it's wrong. He is worldly proof, too, saying, quote, look at the social impact of the countries that have engaged in homosexual marriage, end quote. He shakes his head in sorrow, thinking of Sweden, which Christian conservatives believe has been made by social engineering into an outer ring of hell. Brownback says, quote, you'll know them by their fruits, end quote. He pauses, and an awkward silence fills the room. He was citing scripture in Matthew 7:16, but he just called gay Swedes fruits. Homosexuality may not be sanctioned by the Bible, but slavery is, by Old and New Testaments alike. Brownback thinks slavery is wrong, of course, but the Bible never is, so how does he square the two? And he says, quote, I've wondered on that very issue, end quote. Isn't that always a politician's answer? Well, how do you explain this? I've thought about that. Okay, thanks for the non-answer. He does, however, tentatively suggest that the Bible views slavery as a person-to-person relationship, something to be worked out beyond the intrusion of government. But he quickly abandons the argument, calling slavery a personal choice. After all, is awkward for a man who often compares slavery to abortion. Yeah, slavery a personal choice. And then again, comparing slavery to abortion. And abortion, remember, he loves all the fetuses. Fetal citizens, he calls them, I guess. Although Brownback converted to Catholicism in 2002 through Opus Dei, an ultra-Orthodox order that, like the Fellowship, specializes in cultivating the rich and powerful, the source of much of his religious and political thinking is Charles Colson, the former Nixon aide who served 7 months in prison for his attempt to cover up Watergate. Colson is widely acknowledged as the Christian right's leading intellectual. He is the architect behind faith-based initiatives, the negotiator who forged the Catholic and evangelical unity known as co-belligerency, and the man who drove sexual morality to the top of the movement's agenda. Said Brownback, quote, when I came to the Senate, I sought him out. I had been listening to his thoughts for years and wanted to get to know him some, end quote. The admiration is mutual. Colson, a powerful member of the Fellowship, spotted Brownback as promising material not long after he joined the group's cell for freshman Republicans. At the time, Colson was holding classes on biblical worldview for leaders on Capitol Hill, and Brownback became a prized pupil. Colson taught that abortion is only a threshold issue, a wedge with which to introduce fundamentalism into every question. So it starts in one area, but then again, once the door is cracked open, it's very easy to push the rest of the way. Story says the two men soon grew close and began coordinating their efforts. Colson provides the strategy, and Brownback translates it into policy. Said Colson, quote, Sam has been at the meetings that I've called, and I've been at the meetings that he has called, end quote. And yet compassionate conservatism, as Colson conceives it and Brownback implements it, is strikingly similar to plain old authoritarian conservatism. In place of liberation, it offers as an ideal what Colson calls biblical obedience and what Brownback terms submission. The whole concept is derived from Romans 13, the scripture by which Brownback and Colson understand that God, their power as God-given, which says, quote, whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation, end quote. So think about it a little bit deeper. They're driven by the idea that God has put them there, and God has put them there to implement God's will on earth, and that if you resist, you are subject to eternal damnation, and the human equivalent of that. So, for example, if the politicians feel that they're implementing the will of God, and you argue with that, so whatever, the mayor says, "Hey, you need to die," and you say, "I contest that. I want an appeal." No judge will hear it because then that judge would be countering that the will of God is invalid, that the will of God is challengeable. There would be no legal challenges, folks. This is important stuff to understand. A theocracy is not a good thing, because your version of God might not gel with their version of God, and they are in power. They are politicians. According to Romans 13, they have the authority to tell you what is and is not true, what is and is not scriptural, biblical, and, again, what is and is not the will of God. So, therefore, if you're subject to eternal damnation, why don't they just speed you on your way and just execute you right then and there? They may just. They're in power because God put them there, and who are you to disagree with that? Scary stuff, and we continue with it when we return, folks.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism.
Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Vacation Resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Glad you're here, folks. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio, and I am your host, Frank Whalen. We continue with this very, very important story about Senator Sam Brownback and, of course, the fellowship or the family and whatever this prayer cell group would go by. And it goes by several names, which we'll get to. Story goes on from RollingStone.com. Yes, the rock and roll magazine. To Brownback, the verse is not dictatorial. It simply is one of the demands of spiritual war, the worldwide spiritual offensive that the fellowship declared a half century ago. Brownback once declared on Colson's radio show, quote, "There's probably a higher level of Christians being persecuted during the last 10, 20 years than throughout human history," end quote. Given to framing his own faith in terms of battles, he believes that secularists and Muslims are fighting a worldwide war against Christians, sometimes in concert. Religious freedom is one of his top priorities, and securing it may require force. He has sponsored legislation that could lead to regime change in Iran and has proposed sending combat troops to the Philippines, where Islamic rebels killed a Kansas missionary. So again, hey, sometimes God says we have to spread the word. Sometimes we have to win. And if that means we need regime change in Iran or anywhere else for that matter, then it's going to happen. Brownback doesn't demand that everyone believe in his God, only that they bow down before him. Part holy warrior, part holy fool, he preaches an odd mix of theological naivete and diplomatic savvy. The faith he wields in the public square is blunt, heavy, unsubtle, brass knuckles of the spirit. But the religion of his heart is that of a woman whose example led him deep into orthodoxy, Mother Teresa. It is a kiss for the dying. He sees no tension between his intolerance and his tenderness. Indeed, their successful reconciliation in his political self is the miracle at the heart of the new fundamentalism, the fusion of hellfire and hallmark. Growls Colson, anointing Brownback with the highest praise, quote, I have seen him weep, end quote. Okay, that's high praise. Such are the new American crusaders, the author writes. Tear-streaked, strong men huddling together to talk about their feelings before they march forth, their sentimental faith sharpened, and their man feelings hardened into natural law. They are God's promise keepers, his defenders of marriage, his knights of the fetal citizen. They are the select few who embody the paradoxical love promised by Christ when he declared in Matthew 10:34, I did not come to bring peace but a sword. The world Brownback grew up in has vanished. In its place, Brownback imagines another one. Standing up on his porch, he thinks back to the days before the Civil War, when his home state was known as Bloody Kansas, and John Brown fought for freedom with an axe. Concedes Brownback, quote, a terrorist, end quote. Careful not to offend his Southern supporters, but also a wise man. When Brown was in jail awaiting execution, a visitor told the abolitionist he was crazy. Brownback intones, recalling Brown's response, saying, quote, I'm not the one who has 4 million people in bondage. I, sir, think you are crazy, end quote. This is another of Brownback's parables. In place of 4 million slaves, he thinks of the uncountable unborn babies, all of the persecuted Christians, a nation within a nation awaiting Brownback's liberation. Brownback, sir, thinks that secular America is crazy. The senator stares, his face gentle but unsmiling. He isn't joking. That is the end of that 20-page article about Senator Brownback entitled God's Senator. But the important points are made throughout the article, and I'm sure they jumped out at you, as they should have. Opus Dei was one of them. This is a story from Counterpunch.org, January 30th, 2006, and it says, just an excerpt here, the rise to power of religious dogmatists in the guise of an Opus Dei click on the Supreme Court through the rulings of Scalia, Thomas, and potentially Alito is a legitimate cause for concern, not only on Capitol Hill, but also throughout America. Just imagine the outcry if the Supreme Court had 4 radical Islamicists, 4 zealous Zionists, or 4 fixated followers of Reverend Sun Myung Moon. The case of Samuel Alito also raises a serious question. Is George Bush attempting to pack the Supreme Court with religious extremists? If Alito is confirmed, his presence will create a majority of 5 Catholic justices on the U.S. Supreme Court. Justice Anthony Kennedy is a liberal Catholic, while the recently appointed Chief Justice John Roberts is another deeply conservative Catholic jurist whose devout religious views have also given rise to speculation involving Opus Dei. Alito would also bring the total to 4 of ultra-conservative Catholics on the U.S. Supreme Court, forming an alliance that would be legal, judicial, and religious. So there is a lot of speculation that these guys are Opus Dei, which again is a Catholic organization that we had talked about earlier that had baptized Sam Brownback, who is now a Catholic. Remember, formerly a Methodist, formerly an evangelical. Now, if you go to, and you want to look up Opus Dei, of course, very, very much more attention given to Opus Dei in conjunction with the Da Vinci Code. Now, if you have seen the Da Vinci Code or read the book, you'll know what I'm talking about. There's a guy in there, he's like a monk of sorts, and he has a thing called a cilice, I think it's called, and it's a chain that goes around their leg, and it has spikes on it, and he's bleeding all over the place. He's whipping himself, and so on and so forth. So Opus Dei, there's a lot of information. In fact, a 16-page article on Wikipedia, if you're interested. But I will just read excerpts, okay? So Wikipedia.org, Opus Dei. Now, there are different types of groups, different types of levels, I guess, you could be involved in Opus Dei. Now, it seemed to me that somebody like Sam Brownback is probably most likely the lowest level of Opus Dei, because as you get higher in the order, you have to be celibate and you have to be unmarried and things like that. But obviously, he is married. He's not celibate because he's got kids. Maybe he's celibate now, but he wasn't always. So the lowest level of Opus Dei, which I feel Brownback is probably a member of, and probably some of these other people too, but who knows, is called a supernumerary. That is the largest type. They currently account for about 70% of the total membership in Opus Dei. Typically, supernumeraries are married men and women with careers. Supernumeraries devote a portion of their day to prayer in addition to attending regular meetings and taking part in activities such as retreats. Due to their career and family obligations, supernumeraries are not as available to the organization as other types of members, but they typically contribute financially to Opus Dei, and they lend other types of assistance as their circumstances permit. So for somebody who's in a prayer cell, who manipulates things behind the scenes to make us a Christian world with Washington, D.C. as its capital, including, of course, starting wars and implementing policy and adhering to Romans 13, that they are there because God put them there and they have the authority of God to do what they feel that God is telling them to do. So that could be type of assistance that circumstances would permit to Opus Dei. Now, under the section of corporal mortification, which is basically like self-torture, I suppose. Here's what it has to say. Much public attention is focused on Opus Dei's practice of mortification, the voluntary offering up of discomfort or pain to God. Mortification has a long history in many world religions, including the Catholic Church. It has been endorsed by popes as a way of following Christ, who died in a bloody crucifixion and who gave this advice, quote, renounce yourself, take up the cross daily, and follow me, end quote. Supporters say that opposition to mortification is rooted in having lost the sense of the enormity of sin or offense against God, a spirit of sacrifice for supernatural ends and not only for physical enhancement, and the need for virtue of fortitude practiced by Christian saints and martyrs so as to grow in holiness. Opus Dei celibate members practice corporal mortification, such as sleeping without a pillow or sleeping on the floor, fasting, or remaining silent for certain hours of the day. They also wear a sallis, a small metal chain with inward-pointing spikes that is worn around the upper thigh. The sallis's spikes cause discomfort and may leave marks, but typically do not cause bleeding. Numeraries in Opus Dei generally wear a sallis for up to 2 hours a day. Although the use of the sallis is no longer common, its practice in the Catholic Church is more widespread than many observers imagine. In modern times, it has been used by Blessed Mother Teresa. Now, Mother Teresa, of course, is the reason why Sam Brownback found faith, supposedly, so that's a very intriguing connection there. It says it has also been used by St. Padre Pio and the slain Archbishop Oscar Romero. On the other hand, critics state that self-mortification is a startling, extreme, and questionable practice, one that borders on masochism. Now, when it says about, you know, Opus Dei has been endorsed by popes, mortification has been endorsed by popes, and so on and so forth, listen to this thing on papal support for Opus Dei. It says, after a slow start, Opus Dei ultimately grew to have the firm support of the Vatican. In 1960, Pope John the 23rd commented that Opus Dei opens up, quote, unsuspected horizons of apostolate. Furthermore, in 1964, Pope Paul the 6th praised the organization in a handwritten letter to its founder, which is Jose Maria Escriva is his name. But here's that letter from Pope Paul the 6th. Quote, Opus Dei is a vigorous expression of the perennial youth of the Church, fully open to the demands of modern apostolate. We look with paternal satisfaction on all that Opus Dei has achieved and is achieving for the kingdom of God, the desire of doing good that guides it, the burning love for the Church and its visible head that distinguishes it, and the ardent zeal for souls that impels it along the arduous and difficult paths of the apostolate of presence and witness in every sector of contemporary life, end quote. So they're saying, hey, look, we love the fact that Opus Dei is everywhere and that our people are, you know, seating themselves into these very important positions. Pope John Paul I, a few years before his election, wrote that Escriva, the founder of Opus Dei, was more radical than other saints who taught about the universal call to holiness. So Pope John Paul I, not a fan of Opus Dei. Of course, he died, which we'll get to. It says, with the 1978 election of Pope John Paul II, Opus Dei gave one of its greatest supporters. John Paul II cited Opus Dei's aim of sanctifying secular activities as a, quote, great ideal. The current Pope, Benedict XVI, is also a particularly strong supporter of Opus Dei and its founder. Opus Dei has been called the most controversial force in the Catholic Church, and its founder, Escriva, has been described as a polarizing figure. It says, critics state that Opus Dei is intensely secretive. For example, members generally do not publicly disclose their affiliation with Opus Dei, and under the 1950 Constitution, members were expressly forbidden to reveal themselves without the permission of their superiors. Sounds a lot like the fellowship, doesn't it? This practice has led to rampant speculation about who may be a member. Opus Dei has been accused of deceptive and aggressive recruitment practices, such as showering potential members with intense praise known as love bombing, instructing numeraries to form friendships and attend social gatherings explicitly for recruiting purposes, and even requiring regular written reports from its members about those friends who are potential recruits. Most of all, critics allege that the group maintains an extremely high degree of control over its members, like a cult. That's my addition to that. Anyway, it says, there used to be a time when numeraries submitted their incoming and outgoing mail to their superiors to be read, and members are forbidden to read certain books without permission from their superiors. Critics charge that Opus Dei pressures numeraries to sever contact with non-members, including their own families. Now, that's a process called shunning, which we'll talk about probably Monday in our conclusion to this this little expose we're doing here. Critics assert that Escriva and the organization supported the governments of Francisco Franco and Augusto Pinochet, and has even been alleged that Escriva expressed sympathy for Adolf Hitler. Well, that sounds a lot like the fellowship too, doesn't it? Remember, they were highlighting the effectiveness of cells, citing communism, Hitler, Lenin, Stalin, all these other people, and you know, you heard the story. One former Opus Dei priest, Vladimir Felsman, who has become a vocal Opus Dei critic, even contends that its founder, Escriva, once remarked that Hitler had been, quote, badly treated by the world, and he further declared, quote, Hitler couldn't have been such a bad person. He couldn't have killed 6 million Jews. It couldn't have been more than 4 million, end quote, implying that Hitler wasn't really that bad of a person, because a bad person would have killed 6 million Jews, but somebody that's not such a bad person only killed 4 million. Concerning the group's role in the Catholic Church, critics have argued that Opus Dei and their unique status as a personal prelature gives it too much independence, making it essentially, quote, a church within a church. That's Opus Dei. Now, I mentioned about Pope John Paul I. Now, if you don't know this, he, of course, reigned as Pope of the Roman Catholic Church and as sovereign of Vatican City from August 26, 1978, until his death. His 33-day papacy was one of the shortest reigns in papal history, resulting in the most recent year of three popes. Having died before he could make a legacy as pope, he is best remembered for his friendliness and humility, making him known as the Smiling Pope, drawing comparisons with good Pope John, the widely popular Pope John the 23rd. John Paul's death suddenly, only 33 days after his election, I think it's an important number, 33, caused worldwide shock. The cause of death, as officially reported by the Vatican, was, quote, possibly associated to a myocardial infarction, end quote, which is a common form of heart attack. I like that. Very specific. Well, it's possibly as a result of a complication, but possibly, maybe, having a heart attack. Thanks, Vatican. It says, however, a degree of uncertainty accompanies this diagnosis because no autopsy was performed. This uncertainty has led to a number of conspiracy theories about the Pope's death. In addition, Vatican healthcare has been notoriously poor for some of his predecessors. Pope Paul VI's poor health care is generally agreed to have hastened the approach of his death. There is no evidence to suggest that the standard of Vatican care has improved by Pope John Paul I's 33-day reign, nor given his apparent lack of heart problems. As attested to by his own doctor, who flatly contradicted the rumors that came from the Vatican in the aftermath of the Pope's death, was there any apparent immediate requirement for a review of medical services? So in essence, what they're saying is that the Vatican at the time didn't have really great health care. However, Pope John Paul I, his personal doctor, contradicted the Vatican and said, look, this guy had no heart problems, so what's the deal? And you wonder why there might be conspiracy theory or two that would arise. It says, the Pope's body was embalmed within one day of his death. Wild rumors spread. One rumor claimed that a visiting prelate had recently died from drinking poisoned coffee prepared for the Pope. A visiting prelate actually had died some days earlier, but there was no evidence of poisoning. Another, what's evidence, right? They don't do autopsies or whatnot. Another unsubstantiated rumor described the Pope's plans to dismiss senior Vatican officials over allegations of corruption. The suddenness of his embalming raised suspicions that it had been done to prevent an autopsy. The Vatican insisted that a papal autopsy was prohibited under Vatican law. However, one source, the diary of Augusto Chigi, reports an autopsy was carried out on the remains of Pope Pius VIII in 1830. On November 11, 2006, the first part of his beatification process concluded at the Belluno Cathedral. So they might make a saint out of him, maybe. Hey, sorry we assassinated you, but maybe we'll make a saint out of you, right? Continuing with the Wikipedia thing, it says, discrepancies in the Vatican's account of the events surrounding John Paul I's death. It's inaccurate statements about who found the body, what he had been reading, when he had been found, and whether an autopsy could be carried out, has produced a number of conspiracy theories, many associated with the Vatican Bank, which owned many shares in Banco Ambrosiano. Even fiction focused on the seemingly bizarre death of the Pope. The movie The Godfather Part III featured a major plotline depicting the Vatican Bank as involved in organized crime, with various intrigues resulting in the assassination of a Pope, openly named in the movie as John.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091.
I'm ready as anybody.
You're listening, of course, to Frankly Speaking Radio, and I am your host, Frank Whalen. I can't believe how little I've accomplished with this incredible pile of news, but I will finish it on Monday, okay? So if you would like to hear part two of our little expose here about the fellowship and all the different interconnectedness, all the different areas where it sort of crosses over, you'll have to join us then Monday evening. But anyway, this Wikipedia listing of Pope John Paul I and the conspiracy theories about his death says there are also theories of a CIA assassination attempt due to John Paul I being perceived as trying to improve ties with the Soviet Union and his removal of several pro-American clergy. Very interesting. It says it has, however, at one stage been claimed that close friends of the late Pope, to their embarrassment, were ordered away from his corpse while some form of inspection, perhaps even an autopsy, occurred. If that is true, then the fact that no results were subsequently released might suggest that some evidence had in fact been found, that John Paul's death was not simply due to natural causes, but due either to murder or an accidental overdose that the Vatican might not wish to make public. So a little bit of information there about Sam Brownback, about Opus Dei, about the Supreme Court nominees, and about, you know, again, Pope John Paul I. Not a fan of Opus Dei. Pope John Paul II, very much a fan. And what's the difference? Well, Pope John Paul I was assassinated. Well, oh, I'm sorry. He just died of natural causes. 33 days into his reign. So, again, folks, when you look at all the different groups that have been named in this, just in passing, like, oh, I really admire Mother Teresa. Okay, she used a Salesian, so does Opus Dei. Oh, I think that we should model ourselves after these successful successes of groups who use small cells of people to change things behind the scenes, such as Hitler and the mafia, organized crime and things like that. It just, there's a lot of crossover, okay, between these groups and the different affiliations and these very, very, very powerful people. As I said, I've maybe gotten through, I don't know, a third of my material I have sitting here in front of me. We'll do more on Monday, but I urge you all to, again, take some time away from the front lines here. Go and enjoy yourselves this weekend. Do something wonderful. Do something spectacular. And take a break from a lot of this stuff. It's important. So that way we can all return to the fight fresh and energized and ready to go. Enjoy yourselves this weekend. Spend some time with people you care about. Do something that you just enjoy doing. Something silly even. If it's just, maybe you enjoy coloring. Go and buy a box of Crayolas and a little coloring book and just color. Just have some fun, do something fun, and do something for you. Because, again, this stuff can be heavy. It can seem depressing. It's not to me. This is truth. This is power. This is information. This is empowering to you, okay? The truth will set us free, but we have to not be afraid of the truth. And that's kind of what we try to do here on the show. So have some faith, folks, not in Sam Brownback and not in Opus Dei and not in any of this other stuff. Have faith in God, your relationship with God, and how God moves on you and how he speaks to you and how he directs your life, not how he directs the policy of the United States government and the direction of our theocracy that they'd like to see here in America. I just think that, it's not necessary to have all these middlemen. Popes and priests and pastors and reverends and rabbis and senators and presidents and preachers and evangelical ministers and televangelists. Just go right to the source.
A message for